WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The White House says President Biden will eulogize former President Jimmy Carter at a state funeral a week from Thursday at the National Cathedral in Washington. New Yorkers are paying tribute.
All good people go to heaven. And I'm sure President Carter, he's in heaven now with his wife.
Mr. Carter died yesterday at the age of 100, despite President-elect Trump's insistence.
A woman I have never met. I don't know. I have no idea who she is.
A federal appeals panel in New York has upheld a $5 million civil verdict in writer E. Jean Carroll's defamation case. She accused Mr. Trump of sexually abusing her in a department store dressing room. Actress Linda Lavin has died.
Early to rise. Early to bed.
She was the lead in Alice, the 1970s TV show about a single mother waitressing for a living. Lavin won a Tony Award in the 1990s for Broadway Bound. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents who drive an electric vehicle should be prepared for an extra tax when using public charging stations in the new year. Among a number of other new year rule changes, there will be a new 3 cents per kilowatt tax at public charging stations, and businesses like hotels that offer EV chargers will need to register with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Transportation officials say the added tax will help provide funding for road improvement projects and estimate it will generate over $3 million in revenue next year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the 2024 open water muskie fishing season is nearly over. According to a press release, the season will close statewide on Tuesday, and after that, muskie cannot be targeted through the ice at any time. The muskie season will reopen in 2025 on May 3rd in the southern zone and May 24th in the northern zone. Anglers looking to take advantage of the season's final days should check the DNR's fishing regulations and quality water page for nearby opportunities. An arrest warrant has been issued for a Rice Lake man accused of a seventh offense operating while intoxicated after allegedly failing to make a court appearance. According to court documents, 52-year-old Nathan Pettit was facing up to 12 and a half years in prison and a fine of up to $25,000 if convicted on the OWI charges. He was scheduled to appear in court on Thursday. Pettit was arrested on December 17th after a preliminary breath test allegedly showed his blood alcohol content to be roughly 3 times the legal limit. A judge has ordered a competency hearing for the man accused of stabbing and killing another man at the Dew Dodge Inn earlier this month. According to court documents, 44-year-old Anthony Jackson is facing multiple charges, including first-degree intentional homicide and repeated felony bail jumping. Law enforcement authorities say Jackson is a known unhoused individual and was acting erratically in the bar before stabbing and killing 31-year-old Alex Graff. Authorities say there was no confrontation between the two prior to the stabbing. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers are swept by the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second time this season, the Packers lost to the Vikings, again by just 2 points, the final 27-25 at U.S. Bank Stadium. Packers running back Josh Jacobs asked, if the team has lost any confidence after being swept by both the Lions and now the Vikings this season.
Not at all. I told our guys at halftime, believe in ourselves. At the end of the day, like I said, we did a lot of things I feel like was on us. So I told our guys, believe in ourselves. I don't think it was nobody in here that believed that we were just going to lose. I think everybody had the belief that we was going to pull it out some type of way. We just fell short today.
The Packers will host the Bears next Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey. The Badgers beat the UConn Huskies 4-3 to win the holiday faceoff at Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee. It's the third time in 4 years Wisconsin has won the tournament. NBA, the Bucks are in Indianapolis tomorrow afternoon against the Pacers on New Year's Eve. Tip-off time at 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering and returning once again tonight. High temperatures stay mild today, reaching the upper 30s and slide below freezing to near 30 tonight. And we've got chances of light snow arriving tomorrow afternoon. Accumulations look small, but it'll still be slick and slippery. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, December 30th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in an all-new live show after being out for a couple of days last week. Hope you enjoyed our year in review, What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. It was nice to be off for a couple of days. Happy holidays to each and every one of you. Belated Merry Christmas, if we haven't told you already. Happy Hanukkah for those in the middle of celebrating. Happy Kwanzaa and Happy New Year. Mr. Zommers, welcome back.
Welcome back, Todd.
It's nice to see you and nice to be here live. Missed being behind the mic, but it was nice to have a couple of days off as well.
Yeah, same here, but behind the board.
Right, exactly. Lots to talk about today, lots to catch up on. If you missed it, and would not blame you if you did, over the weekend, the mega leadership seems to be in a internal civil war of sorts over immigration. Going to let you hear it in their own words. Rather entertaining to hear Steve Bannon going after Elon Musk, by the way. And also, over the week, Vivek Ramaswamy, who is now in, you know, the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiencies, along with Elon Musk. Apparently the news of the weekend was who is more important on Saved by the Bell, the old 90s TV show? Who are we idolizing? That's what's on Vivek Ramaswamy's mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Also the seriousness of the issues, of course, of the politics of the day. And we have a what's worse for you in hour two as well. Your phone calls, 855-752-4842. All that and more. But first of all, to kick off our week here on December 30th, our friend, ongoing contributor. He's a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and a great author. Our friend Matt Flynn joins us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Matt, happy holidays to you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, good to be with you, Todd. Good to be back on the show, and happy holidays to you, and happy New Year.
Yes, happy New Year. Do you and your lovely wife Mary? You seem like, at least back in the day, you dress up, go to big parties in Milwaukee, and stay up until the sun comes up. What do you do on New Year's, Matt?
Well, what we're doing this time, go out with a couple of couples, go to an Italian restaurant. I love Italian food. Mm-hmm. And probably be back in the house at 10 o'clock and may not stay up to watch the ball. I'm not kidding. Drop in Times Square. May not stay up.
Maybe
that's
in bed.
Very different 50 years ago, believe me.
Right. I'm sure it is. Well, Matt, it's always, by the way, thanks for filling in a couple of weeks ago while we were traveling. I listened to the show. You did a great job, and I know our listeners always enjoy having you back on the show, so we'll have to have you do that again if you're so willing.
First of all, how are you feeling, Matt? How's your health?
Well, reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
I'm so great. Good. I'm glad that you're feeling well. I mean, I say this, you know, only half tongue in cheek here. Look, we were off for a couple of days. I'm going to run down a list of people who, just notable people who have passed away in the 5 days we were off here. Today, Linda Lavin, the great actress Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, and of course on Broadway as well. The great sportscaster, broadcaster Greg Gumbel from CBS, a former Republican state senator George Petak. Of course, if not for him, we would not have the Milwaukee Brewers, most likely in Wisconsin. My very dear friend, we're going to talk about him in a minute, former Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen of the state of Wisconsin passed away after a short illness here this last week. And then, of course, we found out yesterday, Matt, that former United States President Democrat Jimmy Carter passed away. And I thank you for coming on a late notice. And I wanted to give your reflections on a couple of these people. Let's start with former President Carter. Of course, he was a one-term president, and many people talk about his post-presidency being a great success. But I was heartened today, Matt, to hear some of these folks talking about the fact that, you know, because of the hostage situation in the 80s, the Iranian hostage situation, inflation, energy crises, some of the good things that Carter got done get vastly overlooked. I just wonder if you could give us your reflection from a personal and also as a Democratic leader, your reflections on former President Carter on this day.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Carter, and I met him and his wife and his son, Chip. In 1978, Mary and I were invited to the last party that he threw at the White House, a holiday party, December of 1978. Because I'd been the Democratic nominee for Congress in the old 9th District, which is now the present 5th District, against Jim Sensenbrenner. And Rosalynn Carter came out and campaigned with me in a senior center. Chip came out at Benji's, a terrific deli in Shorewood, north of Milwaukee. So we were invited, and we went out there. And I'll tell you what, you talk about black tie and all that sort of business. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful, beautiful event, many hundreds of people. And he was a man of absolute unnegotiable integrity. And let me tell you something. Everybody talks about Habitat for Humanity and all that business. He brokered the peace accord between Egypt and Israel that has stood to this day and has ensured as much peace as there can be in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely monumental. He also was the first guy to call attention to climate change. He put solar panels on the White House. And the final thing I'll say is, he was bringing us out of this recession, and the hostage situation, you know, what was he supposed to do? He could have bombed Tehran. That would have killed the hostages, but they were released right the day that he left the White House because the Reagan administration incoming registration had been negotiating with him secretly and asked him to hold them till after the election. So let's cut all the baloney out. Nixon did the same thing in 68. Humphrey and Johnson were at the Paris Peace Accords, and they said to the Viet Cong, hold off, screw the Democrats, and we'll come in and we'll be a little better for you. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand the full nuances of history, Todd. You have to understand them.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to have you here, because you do that better than anybody else I certainly know and could call upon, and we appreciate that. When I think of Jimmy Carter, Matt, I think first word that comes to my mind is integrity. Somebody who had just an abundance of integrity, seemed not to have a dishonest bone in his body, and maybe almost to a fault when it comes to having to hold the White House. Somebody who was humble and had a lot of humility, and as you said, accomplished quite a bit as president, although I think history is starting to be kinder to him, started the Department of U.S. Department of Education, Department of Energy under his watch. And but I think I heard a clip of him today, one of his first speeches. In fact, it may have been his inaugural speech and his inauguration, where he used the phrase, we have to come together, we have to work together, and we have to pray together. He was a man of great faith. And I think that, you know, that's something in today's Democratic Party. It seems like, unfortunately for some, there seems to be this attack on faith. Carter really made it as a Southern Democrat, a Southern Baptist Democrat, a cornerstone of who he was, And Matt, agree or disagree, I think it was his authenticity that allowed him to bring his faith into his presidency.
Yeah, I totally agree. He wasn't some kind of a, you know, a Tartuffe that was pretending anything. Mm-hmm. This guy lived it, and he was a hard worker, and he also had absolute integrity. I think if it weren't for Carter, it would have been harder for Clinton, for instance, from Arkansas to win in 1992. And I have to get back to everything he did accomplish. He accomplished a massive amount, but he didn't have Reagan's personality. He didn't mm-hmm. display ego. He had plenty of ego. He was a nuclear submarine officer, and Admiral Hyman Rickover's corps of new people coming into the nuclear fleet after the Second World War. This guy was an engineer. He was top notch, but he didn't wear it on his sleeve. He didn't go around sticking his chest out like Trump or even like Reagan, for that matter.
Right.
And Reagan was a more experienced guy because of Hollywood. So people, I think, made a mistake voting Carter out.
I remember as a kid in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland County in 1976. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Carter won Wisconsin in 1976. Am I right about that, Matt?
Right, he did. But right. What happened was one of the newspapers went on and said, you know, Mo Udall wins Wisconsin. Right. It was sort of like Dewey beats Truman.
Right.
No, I still have the papers. Right.
But I right. think one of the point that thanks for keeping me honest on that. I would argue, and correct me if I'm wrong. You were, you know, I was 10 years old. But I remember Jimmy Carter doing a grassroots boat tour. He rode the Mississippi Queen down the Mississippi River and made a campaign stop in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, in Southwest Wisconsin. And my grandparents and family drove, you know, an hour from Richland Center to Prairie du Chien to go to see Carter campaigning in 76. And I think that grassroots campaigning is largely what helped him connect to people in rural Wisconsin.
No question. And the other thing was, he was a peanut farmer, and a lot of the farmers in the 3rd Congressional District, remember back then Al Baldus did yep. well, and those kinds of people.
Yep.
The farmers respected him, and it was just like Harry Truman. No one expected Harry Truman to take Wisconsin. Carter took Wisconsin, and the reason they took them is they were authentic, and they were hardworking, and there was no nonsense.
Yeah, I guess looking at, you know, applying that to today's politics, and you can't live in the past, obviously. Things change. We have to adapt. But I certainly think there were lessons from Jimmy Carter's presidency that I think would be applicable and helpful to winning in today's Democratic Party. Yes or no?
Yes. And not only that, it was unnegotiable integrity. He came in after the Nixon criminality and after he was pardoned by Gerald Ford, and people wanted to clean out the corruption. After Trump in 2028, they're going to want to clean out the corruption. And I think a Democrat has a good chance. And I think it's going to be somebody with unnegotiable integrity.
Yeah. And also somebody, there's a great article. I'm not sure. We're going to try to get to it today, Matt. There's a, just pulling it up here. There's a great article in Politico over the weekend on Brian Schatz, the Democratic, U.S. Democratic senator from Hawaii. And he makes this point in this article that the Democrats need to start sounding like normal people. And he uses that phrase. And I thought, for a Democrat to say that, that's extraordinary. And it's about time. Really?
Right, right. Because what's coming out with this kind of identity politics thrust that's taken over our party's nominating process is that people don't see it as authentic. Mm. And if somebody were to come out, and they will in 2028, we're going to have a lot of candidates, and just talks plainly, talks exactly like Harry Truman or Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And tells it like
or,
it is.
Or quite frankly, well. Whether we like it or not, like Donald Trump, he might not mean it, but he's blunt like the guy at the end of the bar. And I think that contributes to his success.
Yeah.
So come
but
on.
You can tell when Donald Trump is lying, it's when his lips move, okay? I mean, this guy's not even remotely authentic.
He's always Matt Flynn. Stay with us. More of Matt Flynn's remembrances of Tim Cullen. And what's he working on in the book field? Back after this.
The Tap.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Tom O'Ball Show and Matt Flynn direct on a Monday, December 30th, 2024. Our friend and ongoing contributor Matt Flynn joins us on the show here for the first part, talking about some remembrances, of course, of former President Jimmy Carter, who passed away yesterday. And Matt, always great to have you along with us. We appreciate you being here. Another good friend of mine, a person who I called my informal boss, because although I worked for Republican State Senator Dale Schultz the last 3 years or 4 years of his term, he had a very close friendship and political alliance with former Democratic Senator, or now former, but then Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen. Both of them had been former majority leaders for different parties, but Senator Cullen and Dale worked on a lot of bipartisan legislation. He was just last on this program back in September talking about his new book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters, by Tim Cullen. And was saddened when I got the news on the 23rd. He had a brief illness and passed away, I believe, of a heart-related condition. And didn't really tell anybody. It just kind of happened. At 80 years old, he sure didn't seem like he was 80 years old. I know that you knew him as well, Matt Flynn. Your remembrances of former state senator and majority leader Tim Cullen.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. Todd, he and Dale, your boss, is a guy that I had a lot of respect for, too. But Tim was a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He was the majority leader. He was active in the Senate when I was the state party chairman. He had high unnegotiable integrity himself. He was very, very good at what he did. He served as in the state Senate on two occasions. Mm-hmm. Came back for a comeback. Back about 15 years ago, he was in municipal office down in Janesville. He was a quintessential public servant, very honest, very likable. When he ran for a majority leader, he had one opponent, my namesake, Jim Flynn. I don't know if you remember him. He was the Senate governor. And he beat Jim Flynn. And Jim Flynn was a friend of mine, too. And I was partial to his last name, frankly. But
I'm sure you were.
I told Cullen, I said, yeah, right. Yeah. But Cullen was a good man. And I didn't see him half enough, quite frankly. But whenever I did, he was very smart, very honest, and very hardworking. And you can only hope to have people like that in either party in our state legislature.
Yeah, we're going to play some cuts after the bottom of the hour of our conversation. Like I say, Senator Cullen was last on this program back on September 9th. Talking about this book and other reflections. And it was a privilege to work with and for him Even though, again, my main boss is Republican, I was essentially helping his staff, Jim and Kelly, and my condolences to them as well. And quite frankly, my last round in the state capitol working for a Republican the last 4 years, most of my friends who, other than our own personal office, outside of our own personal office, most of my closest friends in the capitol at that time were Democrats and those that worked for Senator Cullen. You know, and he was, as you said, a smart guy, a compassionate guy, a really funny guy, by the way. One thing he didn't talk about a lot, although he would on occasion, he and his wife lost a son back in around 2008. He was going to UW-Platteville Engineering School and died suddenly. And that was really the impetus, in talking with him a little bit. As you said, he after state senator, he served in Tommy Thompson's cabinet as Health and Human Services Secretary. A lot of people don't know all the changes and things that he did to improve that institution in the state of Wisconsin. Then went into the private sector, I believe worked for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, then came back to Janesville and ran for school board. And then after his son passed away, decided to, you know what, I really need to get back in and make a difference. And that second round where he really fought with Dale on fair maps and made a difference.
Yeah. He had tragedy in his life, but you know something? He had a full life. He had a lot of friends. Yeah. And you're right, he was very funny. He was very personable. That's how he got elected, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, voters have to like you. But once he's in, he was magnificent. Dale Schultz was too. There was a generation of legislators back then who did Wisconsin proud. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing that right now.
Yeah. We're going to talk, we're going to play some of these cuts after the bottom of the hour of our conversation with former Senator Tim Cullen, who passed away this past week at the age of 80. About 2.5 minutes left, Matt. It is the holidays for those of our folks who are Jewish celebrating. We're right in the middle of Hanukkah, by the way. If you're looking for a Hanukkah gift, Matt Flynn, you're an author. Well, I'm not sure they don't have, stockings at Hanukkah, but maybe what can you set next to the dreidel?
Yeah, I want to promote one of my books, and thank you for permitting me to do it, China Code, by Matthew Flynn. China Code. China Code, if you want a thriller, but very funny, it's been described as a comedy, where communist Chinese assassins come to Wisconsin to murder a math genius, Bernie Weber, who has broken their code because he has solved some mathematical problems. And the Latino and Black gangs of Milwaukee rise up to take them on. If you want to see a book.
And comedy ensues.
I don't know anything about the Black. Yeah, and it's, believe it or not, it's comedy. I mean, do you know anything about the Black and Latino gangs? I don't think you do.
No, I've only through the book. It's great. It's a great read.
Right. And, yeah. Well, look, I thank you, but it's really catching that. Yeah. So if you want to be one up, and put it in your book club, guys. I mean,
all right.
But China Code by Matthew Flynn. I'm a Navy veteran, so I'm able to throw in some military things and so on. But I like the book. A lot of people have praised the heck out of it. And it, believe it or not, it is a comedy. Here's a spoiler alert. It comes out okay. Bernie doesn't get killed. Okay,
okay, very good.
But the truth of the matter is, if you want to see Black and Latino gangs in Milwaukee take on Chinese communist assassins, this is the book for you, especially if you like comedy.
Quick question here, Matt. Tom and Jackson, if you can make it really quick, we got less than a minute. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm hoping you can put to rest. I thought I'd heard that in the election of 80, the Republican, that behind the scenes, they had gone to the Iranians and promised them something. I don't know what, if they would hold the hostages until after the Democrat lost Carter. And I'm wondering, is that true or not? Because that dissuaded the election unfairly.
Matt, 45 seconds.
Yeah, it is true. And I don't know that it swayed the election totally. It certainly turned it into a landslide. I think Reagan was picking up steam. But that said, yes, that happened. And it happened with the Viet Cong back in 1968. The Republicans will fool around and they communicate them. And I don't know what they promise them, but the Iranians did not like Carter.
Yeah.
They did not like Carter. They were Muslim fundamentalists.
We always,
and Reagan played footsie with him. You're absolutely right.
Well, we always like you, Matt Flynn. Thank you so much, my friend, for taking time for us. Happy New Year to you and your lovely wife.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Seth.
All right. Thank you. Matt Flynn, wherever books are sold, come on back. More remembrances on this Monday, December 30th, 2024, on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
As we move towards a new year, there are still a lot of question marks on what the tariffs might look like for the soybean market. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and with me is Donnell Rehagen, the CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America, and he's explaining why instead of sending out these soybeans, we should use them domestically.
As farmers, we have the ability to either export or use it domestically, and I always like to try to see that domestic consumption grow, because once we increase domestic consumption, it seems like we add more value. We're going to crush the beans here. We're going to use the meal here to grow our own livestock operations, or else export value-added soybean meal and then use the oil for these fuels. It's much different than just sending the whole bean overseas and seeing all that value just go away.
Rehagen says that no matter what, the soybean crush is going to continue, so we might as well use it domestically, as it will also give a better market for value-added soybean meal. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre Solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre Solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those midday markets from Chicago. The markets look to be moving in a mostly downward direction this Monday, as cash crop corn is down 3.25 at 4.50 3/4, and new crop corn is down 2.5 at 4.38 1/4. January soybeans are down 2.5 at 9.77 1/2, and November soybeans are down 0.25 at 10.04 1/4. March wheat is down 1 at 5.45 1/2, and July wheat is down 3/4 at 5.63. January Class 3 milk contracts are showing a little bit of strength, though, as they are up 12 cents at 2024 hundredweight, but February contracts are down 2 cents at 2047 hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with areas of dense fog still lingering and returning once again tonight. High temperatures stay mild today, reaching the upper 30s, and slide below freezing to near 30 tonight. And we've got chances of light snow arriving tomorrow afternoon. Accumulations look small, but it'll still be slick and slippery. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever, if they lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, December 30th. December 30th, Zommers, already. Now, tomorrow, New Year's Eve, Zommers and I'm thinking about, and just as a thought, if you're a fan of CNN's New Year's Eve, like I am, you got Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen hosting, and they're taking shots throughout the evening. And by the last half hour or so, they're both kind of schlossed and then hilarity ensues. So I'm thinking, how would it be if you and I took shots throughout tomorrow's show on New Year's Eve?
You know, it depends whether you still want to have a show on January 2nd.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I have to drive, so I have to Uber, and so probably not. But it would be entertaining. I think it'd be I think it would be highly entertaining, but no, we'll probably take a pass on that. Speaking of New Year's Eve, now, if you want some high-class entertainment and actually learn something, download the Civic Media app on your Apple or iPhone device. Speaking of people taking shots, on your Apple or Android device, download the Civic Media app. It's free, takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal. And then tomorrow night, from 6 until midnight, tune it in to WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9, back in the old hometown. But anybody can listen anywhere in the world on the Civic Media app. Phil Nee and the entire cast and crew of WRCO, I may make a guest appearance, who knows? The big trivia-thon. Been doing this for years, I think you could probably still register if you call 647-2111.
Registered?
I still remember the number after 30 years. 608-647-2111, WRCO. You can register your team. And then you and your friends, and the great thing is with the app, you don't all have to be together. I've done this before. You can have friends and family live anywhere, and then they'll ask you a question, and you have a certain number, certain time, like 2 minutes, to call in or text in the answer, and then they keep track of the points, and then there's a winner at the end of the night.
Is Never Gonna Quiz You Up registered this year?
That was our name in past years. I got to check with my sister and Kira Sabin to find whether or not we're going to do it as a team or whether I'm actually going to go and help at the station this year, but we'll see.
Also, so. Tony, watching on YouTube, thinks that we should take shots tomorrow and find out if we still have a show afterwards.
Probably would not. There may be an opening from noon until 2 if we do that. Tony says, I love Cooper and Cohen on New Year's Eve, especially towards the end. Exactly, Tony. Exactly. But no, if you want to, and the cool thing is about Triviathon on WRCO is they have a lot of Wisconsin-based questions. So they try to pick questions that you can't just ask Siri or Alexa or look things that you have to know or look up in Wisconsin sources. So it's a lot of fun. 6 until midnight on WRCO in Richland Center Triviathon. We'll see. Maybe Philip has a chance to stop by tomorrow and talk about it.
I hope so. Yeah. And at the very least, if you listen in, you might learn something.
You might. See, that's the thing. You might learn something.
Almost certainly.
Absolutely. So we'll be here tomorrow and then a special New Year's Day show and then back with live shows on Thursday and Friday. So it's a busy time of the year, the holidays. And hopefully you are all enjoying them. Spending some time today with remembrances on former President Jimmy Carter, who passed away yesterday at the age of 100, and also our friend and a guy who I was very, very honored to, I'll say, work for, although not quote-unquote officially, but did a lot of work for him, former Senate Majority Leader here in Wisconsin, Democrat Tim Cullen, who passed away last week at the age of 80. If you have any remembrances you would like to share, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm also going to put in former state senator, Republican George Petak, who I did not know as well as Senator Cullen, but I do have a story about Senator Petak. My first real paid job in politics in the Capitol was during college when I interned at the Capitol in 1992. And Dale's office, Dale Schultz's office at the time, was on the top floor and on the fourth floor of the Capitol. And next to us was new Senator George Petak. And one late afternoon, early evening in the summer, and the cool thing about the fourth floor offices at the Capitol is they have windows that open up, and then you could walk out onto the roof of the Capitol, and then there's like a railing around the roof. It's kind of one of those hitherto unknown facts. And so it was a nice evening, and so I just lifted up the window. I was standing out on the roof of the Capitol next to the railing, just looking out over Madison, and I hear from behind me, "Todd, don't do it. Don't jump." And then he laughs, and it was Senator Petak, who had his own window open. And nice. And he came out then, and we had a very nice conversation. He was a lovely man, a great person. And when it came to the Milwaukee Brewers needing a new stadium, then Miller Park, the final vote, the person who changed their vote at the urging of former Governor Tommy Thompson and Senator Mike Ellis, the majority leader, was George Petak from Racine, Kenosha, and said, "You know what? I got to do this." He changed his vote from a no to a yes. It passed. And that was the first time, and certainly in modern era, that started the slew of recalls, because the Democrats launched a recall against George Petak for changing his vote on Miller Park, and he lost in the recall. And that's kind of what started the whole ball rolling in all these goofy recalls. I'm just not a believer in recalls. I think that recalls should be used for the same thing as impeachment, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors. Just because you don't like somebody's vote, I don't think that's a reason to recall a politician. But George Petak put, knowing that it might cost him his own career in politics, and it did. He went on to be a lobbyist after that. But had it not been for George Petak, we would have never had Miller Park, and we would not have the Milwaukee Brewers. They most likely would have left town and gone somewhere else. So the next time you go to now AmFam Field, next time you watch a Brewers game, think of George Petak, because he was really the guy that got that done. The person that I knew even better was State Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat, former majority leader, former Secretary of Health and Human Services. This is the thing. Cullen was the majority leader for the Democrats, and he left that position to go be a secretary for a Republican. And he did it because he cared about Wisconsin. And to me, that's one of his lasting legacies, Tim Cullen's, is that he put his state, his community, and others above his own self-interest. And none more so in retirement after he chose not to run for re-election in 2014. In his latest book, and he was here on the show back in September talking about it, I have it in my hands, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. And through all of his books, by the way, not just this one, all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, went to this foundation of Senator Cullen's, to the Janesville Multicultural Teachers Scholarship Fund, which he started back in 2008. Here is Senator Cullen from our conversation this past September talking about that foundation.
Well, I make no money on this book. All the profits from the book go to two scholarship foundations, one in Janesville, one in Beloit. And they are, the one in Janesville, which I started in 2008, is called the Janesville Multicultural Teacher Scholarship. And Janesville, like so many communities of formerly almost all white community, has become much more racially diverse. But our teacher corps was almost all white. When I started the program, the teacher corps was 99.5% white.
Wow.
And the students were 16% students of color. That 16% in 08 is 32% today, and it's on its way to 40.
Wow.
So started a scholarship program, all private money, no public money. It provides scholarships for people of color who want to be teachers and agree to teach in Janesville, or with a scholarship program in Beloit, same thing, but teach in Beloit.
We're going into a commercial break there as he was talking about that the late former state senator Tim Cullen about this foundation scholarship fund. And not only was it, and by the way, the requirement to be the recipient of one of these scholarships to go into education was that you had to return to your local community in Rock County and teach for at least 5 years. And it's been phenomenally successful, bringing kids, and many whom are kids of color, now adults of color, who are educators, so that you have more people teaching kids in these communities that look like them, who have their own background, who can understand their life experience better. All because of Tim Cullen. He also has an intern program where he brings kids from high schools in Rock County up to the Capitol for a week, two at a time. They work in a state Senate office. My former boss, Dale Schultz, always took a Cullen intern. We gave him projects. They would go around. They'd visit different secretaries. Many times they meet with the governor. It's a great program for kids. Here's Tim Cullen from this past September talking about one of these main issues, gerrymandering, on which he worked in a bipartisan manner with my former boss, Dale Schultz.
I saw gerrymandering happen. I was in the Senate from 74 to 86, left, and ended up coming back 25 years later in 2010, which when we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. And the difference was unbelievable because I saw the gerrymander happen in 2011. I saw the election results in 2012. And the problem is that when you have a gerrymander, which means you draw the lines of the map in such a way that a legislator in a majority party can't lose. I mean, they'd have to be arrested for three or four different felonies. Well, maybe not today, but
used to be.
Yeah. And what happens then is the general election is decided the day the maps are drawn, not on election day. You can't lose the general election with these maps. But when you can lose is a primary election. So it depends on who gerrymanders. In Wisconsin, the Republicans gerrymandered. In Illinois, the Democrats gerrymandered. So this is a bipartisan problem, to say the least. If you don't vote with your leadership all the time, your own leadership will recruit a primary opponent because they're not risking losing that seat because it might just be a different Republican or Democrat. It won't be the one they want to get rid of because the one they're getting rid of is trying to work with the other party, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So gerrymandering costs a lot in terms of any capacity for the two parties to work together, just because of that. And it's the same for the minority party, whoever they are. If somebody in the minority party starts talking to somebody in the majority party, they can get a primary orchestrated by their own leadership. Mm-hmm. All this, I always like to say that it's not a partisan issue. It's an abuse of power issue, because the day the maps are drawn, the general elections are over.
The late former state senator Tim Cullen about his new book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters, Tim Cullen. And he worked with my former boss, Republican Dale Schultz, and they actually had a bill based on the Iowa model that then former majority leader Republican Scott Fitzgerald wouldn't even allow to have a debate, wouldn't even allow to go to committee. So Cullen and Schultz paid on their own dime for us to go all over the state to have their own public hearings, which were phenomenally successful.
There were like 90 of them, too.
Yeah, it was incredible. And that's one of the other keys of Tim Cullen. He didn't care where a good idea came from. He cared in getting it done. And he also talked about some Democrats post-election in November attacking Liz Cheney and going off about, oh, my gosh, how could Kamala Harris have an alliance with Liz Cheney? Here's what Cullen had to say about that.
I didn't know that was going on, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, winning and governing is about the big tent, about getting a lot of people on your side and getting independents to vote for you, not just your Democrat or Republican Party folks. And to have those quality people and how she got kicked around and cost her a congressional seat in Wyoming. And she was on it. She was on the January 6th committee. She knew. She has details that we don't even have.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And honorable. And I thought it was even more remarkable that her dad did it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Of the late Tim Cullen talking about the need to work bipartisanly. And he didn't just say that. He actually put his money where his mouth was, and he voted that way. He authored bills in a bipartisan fashion. He went and worked for Republican governor because he wanted to get things done, and he did. A remarkable career. Even a more remarkable person. A man of great compassion. And also really, really funny. He once told me, he said, Todd, anytime a politician tells you anything other than a yes, it's a no. And anything ever they tell you other than a no is a yes. And I laughed. He goes, you laugh, but it's the gal dang truth. And he didn't say gal dang. Back with more remembrances of Tim Cullen. He was also not a fan of Peacock, as it turns out. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
I want to see you peacock. Your peacock. Your peacock. Your peacock.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, December 30th. Zahmer's pulling up a little Katy Perry there. There's a reason for it. Talking about remembrances of the late, great Wisconsin Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Tim Cullen, who passed away at the age of 80 after a brief illness last week. He was on the program back in September. And after talking about a lot of the serious stuff that we've already played for you, he was also a big sports fan, by the way. Had season tickets to University of Wisconsin men's basketball game, which he graciously took me to, gave me a couple of tickets here and there. Always appreciative of that. But he loved sports, loved basketball in particular. And we got talking about, you know, how to watch the games now, because so many of these games are streaming and some of these are on the Peacock Network on NBC. Here's what Cullen had to say about that. And you're a Badger fan and a Packer fan, but that's tough this time of year right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It
and
is.
You share my hatred of Peacock.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean, if you're a Packer fan in Green Bay, you get to watch it without having Peacock.
Right.
But if you're a fan from Janesville or Beloit or Richland Center or whatever, heck with you. You get Peacock or you don't get the game. That's just so offensive.
It is. I broke down and bought it this weekend because I really wanted to watch the game. Yes, I'm sorry to tell folks, my listeners, I broke down and bought Peacock for $7.99 for the month, and then they lose and Jordan Love's out for how long? You know,
3 weeks at least.
At least.
Yeah. Well, I refuse to give in. I'm not. It's not the money, because it isn't much, $7.99 or whatever. Right, right. But I just refuse to cave into that system.
The late, great Tim Cullen. He refused to cave in on buying Peacock, but he never refused to give in on hope. And as much as I'm going to miss him, and as heavy as my heart was last week in learning of his passing, I am so enormously thankful and filled with gratitude for having the opportunity to work for him, to spend time with him. I once drove him back from Superior to Janesville. And on that long car ride, I got an education. And even more so, I developed a friendship that lasted several years. I'm enormously thankful and grateful for his appearances on this program and his legacy of always thinking that we could do better in this state, that working together, that our best days are still ahead. And that is what I will always remember about Senator Cohen. May he rest in peace. I want to end this hour with a piece by former President Jimmy Carter's grandson. It appeared on Sunday morning on CBS back in October. Here is President Carter's grandson talking about his legacy.
My grandfather was born in 1924, had no running water, no electricity, and he grew up plowing fields behind a mule. He's lived to see both his life and this world transformed in so many ways. And through all of those changing times, he truly has clung to his unchanging principles. Faith, respect for human dignity, equality, human rights, and the commandment that above all else, you should love your neighbor as yourself.
An MRI showed that there was a cancer.
Nearly a decade ago, he had 5 melanoma tumors in his brain and liver. And we quoted the old gospel song that says he's going to stay on the battlefield. And he has. For his whole life, he's been on the battlefield for peace, for human rights, for democracy, for the alleviation of human suffering, putting his faith and love into action for others. He has lived to see the Carter Center deploy an army of health workers, human rights workers, and democracy workers who are fighting disease, waging peace, and building hope. After 77 years of marriage, he was there for my grandmother until the end. He has seen and felt the outpouring of love from around the world. Last year, we collected nearly 20,000 birthday wishes from over 100 countries. And in Tiny Plains, Georgia, that brought tears to his eyes. He's seen that that same technology that knits the world together can also pull us apart.
And how many on your voters list here?
He's seen democracy threatened at home and abroad. And he lived to see one of the most important projects of his life, peace for Israel and Palestine, at the brink. Looking back, his efforts at Camp David remain one of the few foundations for hope in that long and intractable conflict. But he has stayed on the battlefield. After a year in hospice, on a daily basis, we have no expectations for his body, but we know that his spirit is as strong as ever.
Jimmy Carter's grandson in his tribute to his grandfather back in October on CBS Sunday morning. Jimmy Carter, of course, passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Jimmy Carter was a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, and while initially serving on diesel boats, he began to help with the transition to nuclear submarine force. He left the military early to help run his family's peanut business after the death of his own father. While the U.S. Navy fleet had ballistic missile submarines stationed in Spain, the U.S. needed a new Atlantic base due to a treaty requiring withdrawal from Spain. Carter, a proud Georgia native, was instrumental in the creation of the new base known as Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay in Georgia. Kings Bay is the home of 6 Ohio-class SSBN submarines and 2 SSGN submarines, the USS Florida and the USS Georgia. Each SSBN sub carries 20 Trident nuclear missiles, and the 2 SNGs carry up to 154 Tomahawk missiles. Jimmy Carter's namesake submarine, the USS Jimmy Carter, has its own unique animal within the Seawolf class and the most capable submarine in the world. While the C-class submarines, Seawolf and Connecticut, were 353 feet long, the USS Jimmy Carter is a whopping 100 feet longer. Why? Well, the section that was the 100-foot section was slapped into the middle of the submarine called the multi-mission platform. What does that mean? Well, that's classified. But there are some guesses. SEAL teams and U.S. COM delivery launches, ROV and UUV operations. And one theory is it allows underwater engineering capabilities to tap into underwater cable systems for communications monitoring. Jimmy Carter made one last dive in the USS Jimmy Carter in 2005. Back with hour two, more remembrances and what's worth. Stay with us in the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Well, not exactly. No Pat Kreitlow Monday or Tuesday, but you'll have Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lierley, so you better tune in. I better tune in.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The world is remembering former President Jimmy Carter.
He was the first president I ever voted for. It's a sad day. He was a great humanitarian. He set an example for all of us, and we're going to miss him.
He died yesterday at the age of 100. President-elect Trump is not entitled to a new trial in a civil case in which a jury found him liable for sexual abuse and defamation of a writer. CBS's Graham Cates on the federal appeals court ruling.
The court roundly rejected claims by Trump and his lawyers that the judge who presided over the trial made a series of decisions that harmed Trump's standing with the jury.
Reporter Max Darrow on the deadly plane crash in South Korea.
Like so many people right now, John J. Young is coming to grips with tragedy. His daughter was one of the 179 people who died in the plane crash at South Korea's Muan International Airport on Sunday. He told reporters, "This is unbelievable."
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.